Jesus takes care of everything. The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and I'm Pastor Schultze. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Let's ask the Lord for some help. Father in heaven, we pray you open our hearts to this message. In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear ones, today we want to continue our three-part series on why Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee after a long day of preaching from the boat to the multitude. Why he did not go to bed that night after a nice evening meal, but told his disciples, who were just as worn out as he was, saying, "Let us pass over unto the other side." So that night they went through a storm on the sea, which was torrential in power, causing the disciples in the midst of darkness and the howling of the winds and the sea, having filled the boat, to cry out to Jesus for help. And then Jesus rose up and rebuked the wind, and he rebuked the sea and said, "Peace, be still." And the wind went to bed, and the sea became as calm as a glass of molasses. And then, my friends, when that had occurred, it says the disciples feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Well, in other words, what they said, I believe, is this: we know this Jesus, our Master, as the King of Israel. We know and have known him as a prophet of God. But this looks too much like he is indeed the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, who can tell the wind and sea what to do, and they'll do it. So this little group of saints now had arrived on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. It's called the country of the Gadarenes. And there they met a man who was possessed by devils. When Jesus asked him, "What's your name?" the devil inside of him responded, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." In other words, there was a spokesman, a devil spokesman, for these 6,000 some devils in this one body of one man. I'm saying to you that there were about 6,000 devils in this man because the word legion in the military of that day, it was a Roman military, meant at least 6,000 men. So here this demoniac was utterly helpless in the land of the Gadarenes. It says they had chained him and he broke the chains. Well, no wonder he had 6,000 demons inside of him, and nothing could hold him. No one could hold him. No one could confine him. He was raging around, it says, day and night, crying and cutting himself with stones in the cemetery, making life uncomfortable for everyone in the countryside, in the villages and cities of the area. Oh, think of it. Jesus and the Spirit, while he was ministering to the multitudes on the other side of the sea, where he preached from a boat, heard the cry of this desperate man and made the journey as soon as he heard the cry, forgetting about going to bed and having a lovely evening meal, saying, "Let us cross over to the other side." And now, my friends, these disciples who were with Jesus, who were with him in the boat, got to see another great miracle, which I believe was probably the greatest miracle that any human ever experienced as recorded in the entire Bible. And that is a man being delivered from 6,000 some devils by the very word of the Lord Jesus. Devils obey Jesus. I want you to know that. I read to you Mark chapter 1, 27 the last time. I want to read it to you again. This is what the people said when Jesus started making the rounds in the country of Israel. It says, they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." Every unclean spirit, devil or demon, would obey the voice of Jesus. And that was the case here when this demoniac came to Jesus. So these devils immediately asked for a favor. They knew they were going to be cast out, so they asked for a favor to be cast into swine that were feeding in the area. And Jesus granted their request, and they got into the swine. And now they controlled the swine as they controlled the demoniac before he came to Jesus. And they had them run down the steep bank and drown in the sea. Now, as we go on with the story today, we read this. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. Now, friends, we have the reaction of the city, of the villages, of the swine keeper to this wonderful, wonderful miracle, possibly one of the greatest miracles in human deliverance in all of history. And what do you think they said? Do you think they rejoiced? Because now, my friends, there was peace and quiet in the countryside, in the villages, in the homes. Now this demoniac was sitting in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. Do you think they would rejoice about this? No, not so. Rather than that they lost their swine, they lost their pigs, which they, by the law of Moses, should never have had anyhow. They told Jesus to get out of town. They were more focused on the business of the swine that were lost than on the deliverance of the man that was lost. Oh, I can see here, and don't you see it with me, that to Jesus one soul was worth more than the whole world. But to these men, one soul meant nothing, and their swine meant everything. So these people, they begged Jesus to leave the country, to get out of there, and Jesus did. Well, someone said, Jesus is a gentleman. Remember when we had the Twin Towers go down in New York City, September 11, 2001, it was brought down by terrorists flying our commercial airplanes into these towers. People said, where is God in all of this? And someone wisely said, well, we have asked God to get out of our schools. We've asked God to get out of our lives, and now we blame God for having left us. We ask him to leave. He left at our request. And we have no right to say now, where is God, when we did not want him. Now, it's time for us to focus on this man, this demoniac, some more, because it says here that when the town came out, they saw him sitting and clothed in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think anybody from that town brought some clothing for this man? No, not so. No one that came to see brought the clothing that this man needed, obviously, because by the time they got there, he was already clothed. Did Jesus bring clothing with him for this man? Did he have that in his boat? If he did, it would be soaking wet, wouldn't it? Because it says the boat was filled with water. No, I don't think so. I don't think Jesus brought the clothing with him from the other side of the sea. I'll tell you where the clothing came from. God clothed Legion. God clothed the demoniac. God clothed the man who got delivered. He clothed him instantly. Now you say, well, that's going a little too far. I say, not so, not so. Once you go back to the book of Genesis, the third chapter of Genesis, where you find Adam and Eve, who also were naked, but they were clothed with light and with the glory of the Lord before they sinned. So they could not see each other as we see each other when we are naked. But after they sinned, the glory of the Lord, the light of God, was gone from them. They no longer were dressed in light. And so this is what it says in the Bible. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord make coats of skins and clothed them. Did Adam and Eve make their own clothing? No. It says the Lord made coats of skins and he, it says, clothed Adam and Eve. So, my friends, God started the textile industry or the clothing industry by making furs for Adam and Eve. And until this time and this story here in Mark, Adam and Eve were, as far as I'm concerned, the best dressed, the most fitly dressed people ever on the face of the earth, because God dressed them. And now here we have this man who was possessed by devils sitting clothed at Jesus' feet. And I believe he was the next person to Adam and Eve who was the most perfectly, fitly dressed man that ever was on the face of the earth. Everything fit perfectly from shoes to his shirt. Oh, I say glory to God. Didn't I tell you in the beginning that my text for today is Jesus takes care of everything. Jesus does all things well. My friend, when you come to Jesus, he not only saves you from sin, but as you continue to sit at his feet, he will take care of everything else that you possibly could need. The way he'll take care of you will be better than anybody else in the world. Even your wealthy parents, if you have such, can possibly take care of you. The key is remaining at Jesus' feet, continuing to worship him, and you'll get all that you need. Oh, what a great story this is. The story of a man possessed with thousands of devils. What great deliverance now, no longer naked physically, but beautifully dressed physically. Now no longer naked spiritually, but beautifully dressed spiritually. Now no longer without a single friend in the world, but having Jesus and his apostles as his friends. Now no longer restless, but having come to rest, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And so it is no wonder that this demoniac now, delivered of course, wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to travel with Jesus, going where Jesus went. But Jesus said, no, that's not what I want you to do, because I want you to go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had compassion on you. And that's what he did. And of course, as the man did do so, as he told others about Jesus, he continued to be a worshiper of the Lord. He continued to, spiritually speaking, sit at the feet of Jesus for the rest of his life. Oh, my friends, what great things these 12 apostles experienced because they forsook all to follow Jesus. Their lives became thrills, romance, and adventure. And so can yours become such if you too joined a little band of true disciples of the Lord. Our Father, we thank thee for thy wonderful anointing and love and care for all of us. May we get in on thy marvelous miracles, and we will say, surely, the Lord is good. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye now, until next week.